All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. And remember, we were talking about different places where Jesus shed his blood. And it's important for you to identify these places and receive redemption in certain areas. Now, we're going to look Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. It says, "Released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Now, remember this. You know, in that day, people either got scourged or they got crucified. They didn't get both. And scourging was a terrible, it was the most inhumane punishment you can imagine. So he went and got scourged. And Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, he bled internally too. A lot of people don't realize this, but when you take communion, Maybe there was something that happened to you that was absolutely horrible and you're heartbroken and you can't get peace from it. You know, maybe, you know, people that are broken inside sometimes. They have deep hurts that they can't deal with. They have deep hurts that they won't deal with. You know, they'll go along and they'll keep it masked, and if anybody digs a little bit too deep, the conversation's over. Or they mask it with alcohol or drugs. A lot of really, really good, kind-hearted people end up on drugs and alcohol because they don't want to ever take the chance of being hurt again. But he literally took such an intense beating, and part of that was internally. What do you suppose was redeemed at that point? Our forgiveness and liberty from the hold of transgressions and iniquities. See, sometimes people may make a mistake that they don't think that God could possibly forgive them for it. You know, sometimes people think that they've gone too far. The devil will try to convince them that they've gone too far. And people will buy into it. That's a sad place to be. I know a guy, one of the most anointed people you'll ever run into, if you ever met him. A wonderful man. And he'd go along really good for a long time. And then all of a sudden he'd just drop it. And his wife came up to me one time and said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "There's one thing. There's one thing that he thinks he's done that is so bad he doesn't think he can be forgiven for." And she looked at me like I had just read his mail. She said, "You're right. His little brother drowned while they were swimming, and he's held that against himself forever." He needs healing inside, in his heart, in his broken heart. The Bible says that Jesus will heal your mend your broken heart. and heal your shattered souls. Sometimes things happen to people that are so devastating that their souls get shattered. You've heard of split personalities? That's not always a drug problem. Sometimes there's some abuse. Sometimes there's something that happens so horrible that their soul got shattered. But Jesus can heal that. I want you to know that a transgression is something that you do with full knowledge that it is a wrong thing to do, and it is a willful sin. An iniquity is a weakness or a fault that you seem to be born with, like father, like son. See, sometimes, you know, you heard people say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And people live with these generational curses, and they don't understand that they can be stopped. They can be broken. It doesn't have to continue. I ran into a lot of people that said, you know, my great-grandpa, he was bald. My grandpa was bald when he was 30. My dad was bald when he was 30. I'm going to be bald when I'm 30. And then guess what? They were bald. And that's just talking about hair. I ran into people that said, my grandpa died of cancer when he was 50. My dad died of cancer when he was 50. I'm toast. I ran into people I've known. These are people that I've personally known. I've known people that were terrified of suicide. And they, rightfully so, their dad committed suicide. His brother committed suicide. He'd have people pray for him that he wouldn't commit suicide. And he made it. Those are generational curses. And it doesn't have to keep going on and on and on. Just because grandpa was this way and dad was this way doesn't mean that you have to be that way. But it's got to stop with you, and you're going to have to lean on Jesus. Command every grip of transgression and iniquity to be broken off from you. Your life is now in Jesus. Break every curse off in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. Let there be restoration of wholeness in your life. No more transgression, no more iniquity in the name of Jesus. Let Him heal you from the inside out. Now go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29 said, when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, they didn't just take this crown of thorns and just place it on his head. They took it and they mashed that thing down on him. They hit him on that crown and made him bleed. That crown of thorns caused him to shed blood. Now, what do you suppose what was redeemed? It was our peace of mind and healing from mental torment. Sometimes people live in mental torment most of their life, and they don't have to. There's Christians that live in mental torment. And they don't have to. They have to understand that Jesus shed his blood for their freedom. People all over the world and all over the country, this country is terrible about this, but people are seeking peace. They want peace of mind. They want to go home after work and they want to lay down and go to sleep. And they want to have peaceful sleep. And they want to wake up in the morning and they don't want to be worried and they don't want to be terrified. They don't want to be afraid. They want peace. They don't understand that the chastisement of their peace was laid on Jesus. That's Isaiah 53, verse 5. The chastisement of their peace was laid on Jesus. When people can't be comfortable in their own skin, they have to find a sense of ease and comfort. Remember, we're not in our natural environment. Our natural environment is in the presence of God. Just like Adam and Eve were covered with that glory bubble. They were in the presence of God and they were in their natural habitat. And when they got out of their natural habitat, they had to start making clothes for themselves. That's how I can tell you're not in your natural habitat. Every creature on the face of this earth grows its own clothes, except for people. We have to make them. Now, when they cannot find peace within themselves through God, they need to have a sense of ease and comfort, so they'll turn to drugs, alcohol, food, sex, work, any number of things. There's the list of things that people will turn to get their mind off of what's bugging them is endless. And they go to the doctor and they say, I have anxiety. I can't sleep. I don't know what to do. And the doctor doesn't know what to do either, but he has this pill. He says, you take this and this will help you sleep. So then pretty soon he has to have more. And he has to have more. And he has to have more. I wish the doctors would say, look, God has forgiven you of all your sins. And he loves you, and he's not mad at you. And Jesus shed his blood for you so that you could be free from the anxiety. And he wants you to cast your cares over onto him, so that you can live a happy, joyous, and free life. Break off all oppression of the mind from you right now in Jesus' name. Command stress to leave you now in Jesus' name. Command all witchcraft of the mind to release you now in the name of Jesus. Command all black bands, all balls that are sent against you to catch fire and burn to ashes in Jesus' name. Go walk in victory and in your destiny in Jesus' name. Be loosed to make the right choices for your destiny now. The peace that Satan took, Jesus gave back. Our minds can be free. Those mental strongholds and bondage need to be removed. Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. See, religious people fight this all the time. There's indoctrination. They call it doctrine. It's really indoctrination. But people will take the words of their pastor and their denominational doctrine over the word of God. 9 times out of 10. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. I say this because I ran into so many religiously whipped people in this world. So you just almost throw your hands up in desperation and say, I give up on humanity. If this is what the church does to people, I don't want to be a part of it. This is spiritual abuse that I have witnessed firsthand, dealing with people, talking to them, asking them how they got where they are, trying to lead them to freedom in Jesus. Some people have been so spiritually abused that they will not darken the doorway of another church. That is not the love of God. But Jesus can heal that. See, it's time for the church to be the church and not a religious center. You have to understand that redemption is a very messy process. People don't just show up clean. God has to take them through a whole process, washing them up, peeling them like an onion. When you peel an onion, is it always comfortable? No. You peel one layer off, and that layer is nasty. It's dry. Then you get to the next layer, and it's tough. It's better than the outside layer, but it's still too tough to eat. Then you get to the next layer, and that's pretty good. But you keep digging down in there. Pretty soon, you get down to the heart of the onion. You get down to the real good part of that onion. But was it ever comfortable getting down to that? I don't know why Christians think that people can just walk right in off the street and they're just going to be these wonderful beams of light that everybody's going to just love and everybody's going to just... You're going to love them. But you're going to understand that, man, this guy has literally been through 20, 30 years of pure hell on earth. And all of a sudden he got born again and he doesn't know what to do. And he thinks you're crazy. You do know that, don't you? When I got born again, I thought church people were stark raving nuts. I had reason to go there. I really honestly thought church people were crazy. And I was right. I was right. Until I started finding people that were truly in the Word of God, that were truly walking in the Word of faith, and truly understand the process of redemption. That's when I ran into those people, then I thought, okay, I'm home. And I didn't want to ever leave there again. Another place, look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. They crucified him. They parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. When they crucified him, they drove spikes through his hands. They drove spikes through his hands. So what do you suppose was redeemed by shedding blood out of his hands. Your power to succeed, your power to prosper, your ability to receive your spiritual inheritance. Our hands were defiled due to sin. Satan claimed before God that we were not qualified to receive anything. The shed blood of Jesus from his hands was to take away the curse of the work on our hands. Our hands have been purified. Now the work of our hands can prosper. I know you've ran into people that said, everything I touch turns to you know what. Everything I put my hands to breaks. Everything I do fails. What are they doing? They're using Satan words to describe themselves. You need to understand that God said that he would bless the work of your hands. He's given you power to prosper. He's given you power to succeed. Also, he said to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. This is one of the challenges with people. They're afraid to lay hands on people and pray for them because why would they? After all, everything they lay their hands to fails. They need to understand that Jesus shed blood out of his hands so that they could prosper. The work of their hands would be blessed. Command every curse that has been pronounced on the works of our hands to be broken off in the name of Jesus. You know, a lot of people have heard word curses and they just didn't realize it. It happens when we're little kids. Boy, you could break an anvil. Boy, you need to pay attention. You are so dumb. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I can't believe you sprung from my loins. Teachers tell kids, you know, your dad was a failure. Your brother was a failure. You're going to be a failure. You're just like your dad. Mamas tell their kids, you're just like your dad. And then these kids grow up with these word curses over their hands and people wonder why they have a hard time surviving. Because they've been cursed. And they don't know that Jesus had set them free. Command every bondage on your hands to let go in Jesus' name. Command a divine cleansing upon your hands by the blood of Jesus. Let your inheritance be restored back to you. May you receive power to prosper from today on in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't do anything by accident. God never did anything to fill out a paragraph in the Bible. He said, this chapter needs one more page. So let's just say something. That's not the way it works. Absolutely everything God said, he said it on purpose. He meant what he said. Every tiny little thing that Jesus did was on purpose. especially when he shed his blood. He did it on purpose. You know, another place was when he got nails in his feet. He shed blood out of his feet. So what do you suppose could possibly be redeemed by him shedding blood out of his feet? Our dominion and authority. Everywhere the sole of your foot lays, God has given you. That sounds like what he told to Joshua. God has given you authority on this earth. You wonder sometimes how many preachers really understand this. And they say, well, God is sovereign. It must not have been his will for us to... They need to just shut up. God is sovereign. 100% sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he gave you dominion over this earth. And he gave you authority in the name of Jesus on this earth. You want to know what else he gave you dominion and authority over? Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is Jesus talking right here. This is in red. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means he has given you authority over Satan. Now, when I read that, this lady gave me this book called Prayers That Avail Much. And I was reading that and it said, I can stomp on serpents. How did it say that? I can tread on serpents. I was reading that and I didn't know nothing about nothing. But I got this book and I was praying. I thought, that's pretty cool. So I was driving down the road and there's a rattlesnake crossing the road. And I thought, well, I'm just going to see if this book is true. And I go out there and I stomp me a rattlesnake into the gravel. So I stomped two or three of them. I ran into that lady and said, man, this book is cool. She says, what do you mean? He said, man, I am a snake stomping son of a gun. You knocked that off. She said, talking about the devil. Oh, well, that's cool too. He's given you authority. He has given you authority over Satan. That means he's given you authority over sickness. He's given you authority over poverty. He's given you authority over fear. Stand on your feet. Like you are a child of God, and you know it. Stand on your feet like you know God has sent you into this world. Speak for him. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. He shed his blood out of his head. He sweat blood. He shed it out of his hands, out of his feet, out of his back. He bled internally. Every time Jesus shed his blood, he had you on his mind. Every time he shed his blood, he was doing it to set you free from something that Satan had been holding you bondage in. Every time he shed his blood, it's so that you could have more freedom. I'm going to challenge you sometime. All of us at some point in time have access to a Catholic church. Whether we go there for a funeral or whatever. But next time you have the opportunity to go to the Catholic church, go to the wall. Don't just sit there in a pew hiding out like a quiet little Protestant. Go to the wall, find the Stations of the Cross, and go down there and read that and pray those prayers. There's two prayers now. There's one where you pray to Mary. Don't do that. Pray the other one. Go pray the Stations of the Cross. You'll find it to be really cool and enlightening. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that he does for us. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus went through. That was the ultimate sacrifice. Father, we thank you that that bloody sacrifice was for us. That he took the punishment for us so that we could receive the blessing that he deserved. He went through everything that we deserve to go through so that we could receive everything that he deserved to receive. Father, you have designed us in such a way to be free. Father, teach us more about the blood of Jesus and how to walk in your freedom that Jesus paid to give us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.